Mr. Stagg.
Morning. I think it's still morning.
It is. Let's keep it that way.
Sure, can I step up?
Absolutely, Paul.
Put in the permit.
That makes it clear.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care. One, two, three, four. Yes, sir, proceed.
This is a public hearing for commission consideration to designate approximately 425 acres of Sebaquia's state-owned bottomlands at the confluence of the Pecosin River and Bennett's Creek in the city of Pecosin as not appropriate for shellfish leased ground that could be authorized under the code section of 28.2603. As you will recall, last month's meeting, those that were here, we did consider two applications in this generally same area by the Orchard Company of Virginia, LLC. They were both in the city of Pecosin. One was shown on this slide. That's 2011-007, and the other one was 005, which was in Lloyd or Floyd's Bay to the east of this location. At that hearing, we did recommend approval of a portion of the application within Lloyd's Bay, and we recommended denial of this application at the mouth of Bennett's Creek. Our reason for recommending denial at the time was the variety of uses of this area. There was also discussion of the long northeast fetch here of up to 28 miles to the eastern shore. And that, therefore, it made this area inappropriate for on-bottom or cage aquaculture type activity. The commission did vote to approve even smaller area within Lloyd's Bay than staff's recommendation, removing a channel portion going into Lloyd's Bay, and the commission did vote to deny the application 2011-007. As not appropriate to be leased. We did also recommend at that hearing that the commission consider delineating an area at the mouth of the Pecosin and Bennett's Creek as not appropriate for shellfish leasing. There was some discussion about whether that should be subjected to additional public comment. It was agreed that that was needed. So we did run a notice in the newspaper and did post it on our website for a public hearing this month to consider an area as generally depicted on this slide as to be designated as not appropriate for on-bottom shellfish leasing pursuant to the section of the code 28.2603. This again is that same area. I've just taken the application area off of it since that's now been voted on and is no longer in existence. This area, as shown, encompasses approximately 425 acres. It borders to the north public clam ground. To the south, staff buffered an area offshore to allow upland property owners to still have areas that they could apply for a riparian oyster ground lease, which is allowed by the code, and this would allow enough area. And there are a couple of already existing riparians here to the west. And there's actually one application in this area as well. We did run the public interest review, and we did receive a number of letters. You'll see them in your packet. We got two letters in opposition. We your packet says 15. It was actually 16 by the time we ran the book. But since that time, we've received another 16 letters in support. I have a packet.
Thank you, Ben.
You can peruse. They all generally say the same thing. There's 16 additional letters in that packet. So in essence, we've gotten 32 letters or emails in support of staff's recommendation, two letters in opposition. Again, generally, letters in support indicate similar arguments that you heard last month, many from residents in the area or the greater area of Pecosin, of the types of uses that this area encompasses, for recreation. Some did also mention the fetch issue and concur with staff's recommendation. Two letters in opposition generally speak to whether this could set a precedent of designating areas as not suitable for forester leasing. We understand those concerns. Staff does not necessarily agree with everything in the letter. Neither one of the letter writers was actually at the hearing. Didn't hear all the testimony last month. But you can read those and see the comments of those. Those are in your original packet. They are the 4-1 and 4-2 letters. Pursuant to the section of the code that does allow leasing of forester ground, that is 28.2603, I will read the actual quote from the code, which states, "Waterfront that is not already assigned or reserved for riparian owners may be occupied for the purpose of planting or propagating orchards, including the use of temporary structures, protective enclosures, in compliance with this chapter and commission regulations, and may be leased by the commissioner with upon receipt of a proper application." End quote. Accordingly, staff believes, by interpreting this section of the code, that the commission also has the authority to not lease the area. We do believe that this area, there is, the way the code's written, should any area in this section be leased, that, you know, caged aquaculture structures could be placed on it the way the code is currently written, up to 12 inches in height, with no additional authorization from the commission. Therefore, I'm going to go straight into my summary and recommendation. Again, this is the general area that's subject to any tweaking the commission may wish to do, but we tried to use existing boundaries of the existing clam ground. As you can see, again, this is a sandy, shoaly area, pretty hard bottom, slightly deeper in this area. Again, the previous application was generally in this area here that the commission did deny. We don't believe any of this area has traditionally ever been leased either. So as noted at your July commission meeting, staff action at that, staff believes that due to the variety of existing public uses of this area, the considerable exposure at this area, and that this area is certainly not compatible for traditional or cage aquacultures, we recommend this area be set aside as an area not to be leased. Again, as noted earlier, the code section allows for leasing under this code section, therefore we believe it also allows the commission to designate areas that should not be leased. We would like to reiterate that any action by the commission is subject to any future reaction by the commission based on anyone who may want to come in and talk to the commission about potentially leasing this area in the future should you designate it as not currently leasable. They can certainly come in with new arguments or new rationale of why they believe the area is suitable or some portion thereof, and the commission could take additional action in the future. Again, this action not unprecedented. The commission has taken similar actions historically for different reasons in other areas to actually set areas aside. We do have a few areas on our ground maps that are currently designated by commission action as it's not to be leased, and we will not take applications for those areas. Again, those are still subject, again, to additional commission action in the future that could reverse that. Therefore, we would recommend that you designate this area as not appropriate for shellfish leasing. We would mark our maps as such. We do not plan to actually physically go out and survey this area. We will just mark it on the map so that anyone that comes in that applies is aware that this is not an area we can accept an application. And should they wish the commission to reconsider that, they could come back during the public comment period and request a reconsideration. And then the commission can direct us what they want to do. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Stagg? Thank you, Ben. Anyone here in support of this proposal? Okay, ma'am, could you come forward? Yes, ma'am. And if you'd all like to come forward, take a seat on the front row right now, and we can more expeditiously hear this matter, if we could, please. What I'll do before you start, ma'am, I'll swear everybody in at the same time. Thank you. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you provide today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Ma'am?
Kay Queen, I live at 180 Beach Road, and just wanted to come to say that I'm in support of setting aside the 425 acres. It seems to me we addressed a lot of things at the hearing in July, so we won't revisit that, but two comments that I would make. First is that...
Ma'am, could you speak into the mic, please?
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. That's one. Yeah.
Thank you.
When Mr. Stagg said that he was in favor of not leasing it in July, and I don't see this as something that's going to change in the future, and I know as we're all looking at this hurricane that's out there looming for this weekend or whatever, it just seems to me that there's going to be a lot of redundancy. If it's not set aside now, then it's going to come up again that there's going to be another interest that is going to want to look at rent, leasing this particular area. And
you're of the belief the conditions are not going to change?
They're not going to change. So everybody who applies is entitled to have their application heard and processed. And so I wonder what resources of yours or Mr. Stagg's or homeowners that are not going to work or whatever, every time you have these meetings, people are taking time focusing on this instead of focusing on other opportunities that might be out there for people. So I think you're going to have a lot of repetition. And the only other thing that I might say is I suspect that there may have been more letters that would have been sent in, just possibly people might have been out of town. I know it's published once a week and everything, but with summertime, I suspect there might have been fewer letters just because of that.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions, Ms. Queen? Thank you very much. Who's next? Sir?
Yeah, I've already loaded it. It's just that I need the slides left up. I apologize.
It's okay.
Good morning. My name is Julian Cox, a citizen of Ocosin. I'm speaking on behalf of my wife, Barbara. We support the VMRC staff recommendation to establish a 425-acre area at the confluence of Ocosin River and Bennett Creek just off the city of Ocosin. Shoreline is not appropriate for shellfish leasing. That is well thought out and grounded on sound engineering and science, as described in the VMRC staff evaluation, which you've just heard, and also includes the concerns submitted by many citizens in letters. And speaking at your July 26th public hearing, they live in the adjacent waterfront community of the city. The best use of these waters and bottom is for citizens to continue enjoying in harmony based on strong precedents set by safe recreational and commercial use set over generations, and bottom historically dominated by valuable submerged aquatic vegetation, salve, that improves water quality and provides nursery habitat for all beneficial marine life and is also protected by VMRC regulation. So for the public, we got safe recreational uses of these shallow thoroughfare waters that has substantially increased over the last 10 years continue. Given they are shallow waters, deploying thousands of heavy rigid structures required for successful industrial scale oyster farming in this area would create increased hazard to navigation. This hazard would be compounded by the exposure to high energy long fetch waves caused by coastal storms and nor'easters that can cause widespread displacement of these structures, further increasing the hazard to safe boating. For waterfront homeowners, safe, unencumbered access to deep water, panoramic vistas over the water in Plum Tree Island National Wildlife Refuge, and serene and beautiful surroundings that is conducive to a good quality of life that we have worked a lifetime to enjoy are preserved. Collectively, these uses, including the use of state bottom by valuable salve, contribute heavily to the city of Ocosin and Virginia economy. So, as you can see in this slide, 70% of the 425-acre area along the city becomes a waterfront, includes the BIMS restoration goal for valuable sap, and most of the remainder appears to be part of the Bennett Creek Channel. If approved, the substantial benefits of existing salve are better preserved, and them's restoration goal for recovery become more achievable as bay water is cleaned up. Them's recommended restriction of any leased areas outside of both the salve and also the restoration areas of the 400 acres, and the 425 acres accomplished that. Moreover, as stated in their June 22nd letter to the VMRC staff, salve is being used as one of the biological sentinels that would respond to water quality improvements, which is, I feel, very important because it's got to be looked at over a long, long time. More importantly, these restoration targets have now been incorporated in Virginia's water quality criteria, state from their letter. The physical conditions and constraints at this site and the precedent set by the beneficial use of state bottom by SAB and BIMS, restoration goal for SAB, and historical and current recreational commercial uses of the state water that led to the proposed 2425 acres of area recommended by BIMS staff, BMRC staff, is consistent with my personal interest for boating safety and experience working the adjacent lease, which you see by the black dashed line there. For exploratory oyster habitat restoration, as well as oyster farming years ago. So, given these safe and beneficial uses, I want to proffer the 18.78 acres of oyster ground lease number 16513, located in the Bennett Creek adjacent at the south end of 425 acres, as shown. The best use is for the people to continue safe and commercial use, and leaving the bottom for recovery of sap. As you can see in the slide, the entire leased area is within BIMS restoration sap goal. And recovery of sap is the right use of this entire marine resource bottom, and I hope the commission will share these values and consider adding my proffer to it. Not much, but it's the right thing to do. As you can see in this aerial picture, the leased area was covered by sap in 1953. And it's consistent with the BIMS restoration goal as well. The only condition I place on my proffer is that the commission, if it decides to consider adding the lease to the 425 acres, not appropriate for shellfish leasing, bringing the total to 444, that is, if it is accepted, it would be treated by the commission the same as the other 425 acres recommended by VMRC staff under current regulation, if any changes in use is considered for the future, which certainly could come before the commission. So, I guess in my close, you know, we continue to support the good work by BIMS, VMRC, and doing what they're doing, provide opportunities for success, industrial scale oyster farming at suitable sites in the bay, tributaries, and supporting the excellent growth this segment of the industry has achieved in recent years. There are ample suitable sites available based on my studies. And I think the oyster aquaculture zone that briefly mentioned at the 726 hearing described, and also I think there are a lot more available, and this is maybe not popular, but, you know, if some kind of resurvey of the Baylor grounds was done to start putting that ground better to better use. A lot of it.
We're in the middle of doing that right now, Mr. Cox.
That would be great.
Yes, sir.
So. And I thought the BIMS report that was came out in 2008, titled Shellfish Aquaculture Suitability Within Baylor Grounds for the Lower Rappahannock River, has already shown optimal sites for consideration, and I'm confident that more, as you already, I'm sure, will find out are available. So, my closing comment is that your staff recommendation is based on a thorough study and evaluation using the best available engineering and science technology, them's input, and public input in consideration of real-life, real-time, local citizen participation, where we are representing our values and based on our knowledge and experience used to help determine the proper total use. I think VMRC review and evaluation process works, and the framework for objective evaluation of the future substantial changes in use of inshore waters based on the physical condition, the physical constraint, the valuable bottom-dwelling marine life like salmon, and the merits of citizen use for any future site works, and will continue to improve over time to better serve the general welfare of the people. And I'll also second what Ms. Queen brought up about the implementation. Also would sort of minimize future attempts to do this, and that would save us all a lot of time, all the citizens, and I'm sure your staff as well. And I think it'd be good for the industry to go ahead and recognize this is just not going to work out here. So I think that'd be fair to citizens. So this is the right place and the right time, and sincerely hope your staff recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Yes, sir. State your
name. Hello, my name is Brian Lockwood. I live at 158 Pasture Road, right adjacent to Beach Road. I'd like to start by saying my neighbor Julian Cox, we are neighbors. We both share the same point of land. And normally he's not a very emotional person, so it's kind of unusual for me to see that from Julian. But he's definitely invested a lot of time over the years for working his grounds and restoring grounds. And I've learned a lot from him and taken up that same endeavor with him. And over a period of several years, we both restored our shoreline to natural oyster grounds. So he's invested many, many hours and a lot of time learning and teaching others as well. But I just want to say that. But I'd like to say that I am in favor and support the VMRC staff recommendation to set aside this 425 acres as an area not to be leased. I strongly agree that this area is not appropriate for many reasons, such as the long fetch and history of damaging storms that could potentially result in damage to property by heavy cages used in aquaculture washing ashore. Also, the fact that this area has no history of oyster grounds, and maybe for a good reason, and it also is a highly recreational boating and fishing area that I fish quite a bit. I also support VIM's restoration for submerged aquatic vegetation that covers most of the area. I think the 425 acres set aside provides the best opportunity for SAB to recover. I do appreciate this recommendation and hope that VMRC commissioners vote in favor of this proposal. Thanks to VMRC staff for their foresight and efforts regarding this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Lockwood. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, please.
My name is Frank Rezek. I live at 198 Beach Road, and I'd just like to say, and in addition to what Mr. Cox said, Mr. Lockwood said, that my wife and I strongly support the effort of VMRC and their idea of blocking off this 425 acres and allow us to enjoy our water and ours for recreation as well as our clamming and oystering and fishing efforts and all that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Robert Cox. I live around the shoreline and Coast and River Drive. I'd just like to express my support for the staff recommendation and like to compliment them on the process they went through and that came to that recommendation. And as a citizen, I felt very appreciative of their work. I just wanted to add that it seems to me that the recommendation is a pretty straightforward and common sense decision that will save significant time and public expense. Since last month, the commission denied application, which I will call 007, the 48 acres of the 425 that are under discussion today. This entire 425 has exactly the same issues particular to this area, including the very important salve restoration and the fetch issues. And as we've discussed before, many hundreds I'm sorry, many tens, if not hundreds of man-hours from staff and citizens have been spent on this issue in this particular location, and it would seem to me sensible not to repeat that in an unnecessary way and to therefore set aside this area that has the same conditions as we've already denied and a logical extension of that decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Good
morning, Roxanne,
ma'am. Yes, sir. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Roxanne Huckstep, 230 Beach Road. I want to again reiterate the issues with the salve and the fetch, and also make sure that the commission is aware that the city of Pocosin is getting ready to launch an ecotourism push, and the area that you have recommended saving is right in the middle of the north end of that. The Daily Press on August the 4th, Dave Callis, who is the director of the City Parks and Recreation, spoke about this brochure and the means that they're going to use to promote that. I was not able to get a copy of the brochure, but this area is integral to the part of Pocosin's ecotourism push that they're getting ready to do. But thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in support of this proposal? Is there anyone here in opposition to the proposal? Yes, sir. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you provide be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
John Vigliotta. My name is John Vigliotta. I'm with Ward Oyster Company in Wareneck, and I'm also with Mob Jack Bay Seafood. And I want to address some of the things that have been said about this area. And first, I'd like to state that Ward Oyster Company leases from the state approximately 500 acres, and I have probably about 1,300 aquaculture cages deployed in Ware River. And the aquaculture cages are roughly 2 foot high and have buoys on them. In the area that I lease that from the state, there's no restriction on any other user group. I have boaters that go through my grounds and, you know, fish. I have kayakers, crabbers, crab all around. Jet skiers go through there constantly. Recreational fishermen. I found lures all over my cages. You know, people swimming. I've actually had people go to my cages and open up corners of cages and take some oysters out. So, I mean, there is no restriction just because I'm allowed to lease that. That does not stop any other user group. I have a duck blind right in the middle of all my cages, which is fine. I have no problems with any of that. I'm very concerned with the precedent that is being set here. There's the reasons why you should set aside this 425 acres or this of what I'm hearing is number one, SAB. All right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you apply for a permit to put cages on the bottom, you can't put them on SAB. So that should be a moot point. If SAB is there, you can't use that area. As far as the fetch, all right, I'm in Ware River, and if the wind is just right, it can come all the way from the eastern shore through Mob Jack Bay right to Ware River. How do I know that? Because there used to be an island on Jarvis Point where, when I first moved here, and you could walk in that island and disappear. There's a stump there. That's all that's left right now. Island's totally been washed and rotted away. All right, through Isabel, all of those cages that I had out there, I had $50,000 worth of damage to my facilities. I had all of my surface floats by my oyster house washed away. I had all sorts of damages. I did not have one oyster cage move. The buoy is attached, and it just bobs all over the place or goes underwater if the tide goes up. So as far as the fetch, you know, as far as staff inconvenience, you know, that this way, setting aside this 425 acres, then you guys wouldn't be inconvenienced and have this come before you. Well, you know, that is what you do. That this happened last month, came before you, you weren't comfortable with the, you know, proposal that was put before you, and you didn't approve it. So my concern is I feel that this is an extremely dangerous precedent. And although I'm sympathetic to the property owners, it's the property owners that have issues with the aquaculture. State of Virginia has traditionally been a seafood and oyster growing company, you know, oyster, crab, and all of that. If you were to take this 425 acres, and I don't know how many feet from land it would be, but let's say 500,000 foot from land, and you went around the state of Virginia, you could find a property owner anywhere along the way that would prefer not to have anything within 1,000 foot of their house. So if you did do that, and you set 1,000 foot off of the shore, there'd be no place for people to do aquaculture. So I am definitely against it. The other thing is, by making it a non-aquaculture area, you couldn't put clam beds down there. You couldn't do spat on shell down there. You know, it's not just aquaculture cages. And I just wanted to voice my opinion that I am not for it.
Thank you, Mr. Bigliotti. Any questions? Thank you, sir. Mr. Erskine? Tell me, swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, please, and who you represent.
A.J. Erskine with the Virginia Seafood Council. Good morning, Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission. We are in strong opposition to this proposal to prohibit shellfish leasing on this 425 acres. Similar to what Mr. Vigliotta said, I do think this is a poor precedent to set for our Commonwealth. The reason that we are one of the most productive shell-producing states in the country is because of our system for shellfish leasing. That's why it works. That's why other states are looking at the Commonwealth as to how to appropriately lease shellfish ground. I think if we take this kind of step without a physical proposal in front of us, I think we're overstepping potentially our bounds of, in fact, taking away really what we're trying to do in the Commonwealth, which is promote shellfish aquaculture. As John said, it's a diverse amount of aquaculture that could occur in certain areas. It may be simply putting shell overboard. It may be putting wild seed or natural seed from other rivers overboard. It may very well be planting spat on shell. None of that has a cage associated with it. None of it has a buoy associated with it. Putting clam seed overboard and putting a clam net. None of that has a buoy associated with it. Intensive aquaculture, which is the proposal I'm assuming you heard last month, yes, there are some visual impacts to that. Maybe it is not an appropriate area for that. But the reason that we're productive in the state of Virginia is because we have a system that allows for the public to make comment, for the industry to come and say we would be interested in leasing and making this shellfish ground productive. There's a reason that the state of Virginia is a farm gate value of $40 to $50 million a year from shellfish production. So I really hesitate to go and take away an area, 425 acres, and make it off limits and not appropriate for shellfish leasing.
Thank you, Mr. Erskine. Questions? Thank you. Anyone else in opposition to the matter? Yes, sir. Raise your right hand for me, please. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You state your name for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Ethan Curry, Ship Point Oyster Company. Live in Pocosin, own a house in Pocosin. And I think what's happening here is not a good idea. Just to back up what the previous speakers have said, I work in a congested area. I have no problems with my neighbors. I'm on very good terms with my neighbors. I agree with the last speaker. The scope that was planned on the for that last proposal was probably not the best thing. How it was delivered was probably not great, but to write off 425 acres that could be used in an unobtrusive way, I think is wrong. I work in a populated area, have no problems with my neighbors, see them every day. People kayak out to me, talk to me. You don't see my gear. And I'm just trying to make a living. And I just don't really want somebody to take that away. All right?
Understood. Thank you. Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Palmer.
I listened to this back in the July meeting. I've heard it again today. And as I said last month, I'm opposed to it. And these are the reasons why I'm opposed to it. First reason, the amount of available bottom for leasing that would be productive diminishes daily. either through other leases or through development nearby that makes the bottom unusable. If you cut out 427 acres, that's 427 acres that would be non-productive for the watermen. Second reason, Mr. Cox, who was so passionate up here, freely said last meeting that his neighbor had 30 or 40 cages on the bottom. If those 30 or 40 cages hadn't moved in whatever time it was that they were set, I don't see why any future cages would move from the next piece of bottom over. Third reason, I wonder what's next. If you say we're not going to approve this 427 acres for leasing, are we putting a line in the water? Is it a lot, could become a line of demarcation? This piece of water is for recreational only. This piece of water is for commercial. You can't do that. If we don't if the bottom is not leased out and it's still open bottom, what's to prevent somebody from coming there, setting crab pots or hole sanding on that piece of bottom or gill netting? And as Mr. Vigliotto and Mr. Erskine brought out very well, if Mr. Nolly had wanted to put clams there or spout on shell, would we have had the protest that we do now? Commercial fishing is more than just putting down cages. There is a lot of different things that can be done on a piece of bottom. Are you taking this piece of bottom and saying, we're not going to allow any more commercial fishing on it? Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds what these people are here asking. We don't want commercial fishing here in our backyards. But somebody like myself who works in a city, Lynn Haven, everything is in somebody's backyard. At what point do we say, you can't work there anymore? What point do we say, you can't set a crab pot near my dock, or you can't set a gill net back behind my house where I can see the buoys, or I can watch you pull that net? We've spoken about ecotourism in Pocosin. But I can't tell you how many people come up to me during the summer months with their kids in the boat. They're from out of town, or they're from in Virginia Beach. They're people with their grandkids on the boat, and they pull up next to me, and they take pictures, and they say, you mind if we follow you, and my kids could watch, or we could watch you take and pull your traps and see what you catch? People like that. That's tourism. That's Virginia at its basis. That's where Virginia started, with the seafood industry. And so you could say, we don't want that. We want this area put aside for kayakers. All this stuff is under the water. The kayakers have plenty of room. Virginia Beach has more kayakers than anybody. You could go down to the municipal ramp in Virginia Beach on a Saturday, and you could watch 200 kayakers put overboard. They have the Pirates of Lynn Haven, who go out there and fish, and they have these pirate flags on the back of their kayaks, so that when they're going through the marshes, they can find each other, and so we don't run them over when we're running through the marshes. And they fish by the gear, because they say this is where the best fishing is right by the gear. And yet you still want to cut out 427 acres of productive bottom. And like I said, I wonder if it had been somebody else, or if he said, I don't want to put cages down there, I want to put spat on shell down there, would we still have the same group of people sitting here right now saying we don't want this? That's my comments.
Mr. Fox?
I'm sorry that I was not here at the July meeting to have benefit of that discussion, but I have listened very carefully to the discussion that's going on today from the people who spoke in favor of the issue, and I've read the two letters in opposition and heard the testimony in opposition. And I guess I would ask, the first question is, why is this issue before us? And it's not clear to me why it is before us, why it needs to be before us at all. It seems to me that if you have an inappropriate use that someone applies for, the commission can deal with it at that time. But I also understand that over time, technology changes, and there may be a way of performing aquaculture on this ground that is appropriate. I would also note that this commission changes over time as well, and they may have a different viewpoint going forward.
So I'm not sure I understand the need for us to take any action whatsoever, and I think I would be inclined to oppose the issue.
Further comment, Mr. Plumlee?
I think these folks are wonderful people that come up here two meetings in a row. They've made their thoughts very well known to us. But I agree with what's been said by my fellow associate members, and that is this is a case-by-case analysis we need to be doing on the bottom lands here, on the subaqueous bottom, and we need to look at it like that. This is a large parcel that we're talking about. I think too large to take up in one fell swoop, take it out of the hands of the industry. So I would be my inclination as well.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In terms of how this issue came before us, I think reflecting back on the conversation we had at the July Commission meeting, staff had identified this area as being adjacent to a proposal that we were considering that had many of the same characteristics. And so I think it was an effort by staff to identify an area that would allow the commission perhaps to better manage public expectations in that area. We heard extensive concerns about the intensive nature of the use of that area by both recreational users but also existing commercial uses that might be incompatible with caged aquaculture, which was the proposal in front of us. Having said that, I do appreciate the concerns about process that have been raised by the opponents and preferring to see us take up these issues on a case-by-case basis. I did want to ask staff, if I could, what sort of aquaculture activities would be permitted in that portion of the area that's covered in SAV?
Well, the parties that spoke about the SAV, what you were seeing there was a 2010 goal area, which I did show you last month, versus the area that has actually had SAV on it in recent years. We do have a policy of not leasing areas that have SAV, and then we consult with VIMS on areas that overlap the goal area and try to work with them on whether they think it's suitable to allow leasing for any kind of on-bottom activity for a lease. So a big area of this we would recommend not be leased. Now, the problem with that is that we'll still take an application, because by code, unless you set this area as not leasable, we don't think we are forced to take the application. We will tell the person that we cannot, by policy, recommend leasing the SAV area and potentially the goal area, but it would probably come back to the commission on a case-by-case basis. And I'm a big proponent of don't fix it if it's not broken. The system has worked for years. We just felt that this particular area had never been leased. Probably a reason it's never been leased. It's not really an appropriate area to do on-bottom activities, including traditional, because it's a sandy bottom. The oysters probably would not stay there. Having said that, you know, it's certainly up to the commission how you want to handle it. Will we get another application here if you don't act today? Maybe not for a long period of time or ever. It's really up to the commission. But we do feel that this area is somewhat unique. And I can't argue that there might not be other areas in the bay that are similar to this that have these same problems. I think you may see one in the near future of application we've got right on the bay side in the Middle Peninsula facing an unlimited fetch. So far, we've gotten no objection to it. I'm kind of surprised, but and they're proposing cage aquaculture. Whether it's suitable there or not, I don't know. But I don't know if that answered your question exactly or not, but. Thank you.
Further questions or comment?
I just want to clarify to make sure I've got it right in my own mind. This area wouldn't be appropriate for cage because of the fetch.
That was our big concern from staff level. Obviously, we listened to the public too for the other uses that are there. And I do want to reiterate that setting this aside as not leasable would not preclude any other activity. All seining, crabbing, it'll be just like it's always been. It would just not allow leasing under the leasing system.
And it wouldn't be really a great bottom for spat on shell because of its sand base.
That's open to the industry's conjecture, but I would think not.
And I guess about 25 to 40% of it has SAV on it.
Yes. Big section of it does.
Now, how about clamming?
There's probably clams on it.
Right.
I think people clam on it now. And there's public clam ground of similar nature just to the north of it. We initially looked at maybe recommending this as clam ground, but there is a mechanism in the code that people can petition that, and the commissioner can actually do it without a petition. But we felt that without really studying the area and seeing what resource was really there, it would be difficult for us to recommend it being set aside as public clam ground. There was no outcry to do that, but I think it's used for that purpose too.
Okay. Mr. Palmer?
I would like to say I don't think it's necessary for staff to say whether it's good for oyster ground or not. It's a commercial venture. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But the burden is on the person who is attempting to lease the property and make some money off of it. And there's a lot of property out there that has been leased that has been determined later on by the lessee that he can't make any money off of it, and he just leaves it be.
Yeah. All right. I think at this juncture, staff did the right thing by bringing this to the commission for consideration. There has been significant concern by the members of the neighborhood who have made a very, very passionate and informed plea to the commission to set this aside. They've got their reasons, and their reasons are very valid within their hearts and within their minds. In looking at the situation from the total circumstances, I don't believe that the area, based on the conflicts and based on the potential problems there, probably should be at this juncture leased due to potential conflicts. However, having said that, I do believe that the process that we have in place has worked for a number of years, that each matter should be taken on its own individual merits, where everyone has the opportunity, if they want to apply for a lease, to come in and explain. And I don't think it's appropriate at this point to set this aside and just say carte blanche, it's not eligible for lease. So that's, I think staff did a great job bringing it forward. I understand where everyone's coming from on it, but at the same time, I don't believe in setting it all aside at one time. I don't believe it sets a precedent. I really don't, in all due respect, but at the same time, I don't think it's the right direction to go at this point as far as the handling of the lease is concerned. So with that, that's my two cents. The matter's before the commission for discussion, action, or lack of any action renders the issue moot. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would agree with taking no action. Like you, I don't think the area is probably suitable for caged aquaculture, but I think we can continue to handle the matters on a case-by-case basis in response to some of the concerns we've heard about the process, and allow that to continue to go forward. But I think the same issues would play out as they did last month if we had another proposal for intensive, large-scale caged aquaculture in that area because of the overwhelming safety concerns and interactions with other existing uses.
Further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox.
It would appear that the commission at its last meeting, in my absence, did just that. They looked at this and said no to this. And that was a case-by-case analysis and seemed to me worked pretty well.
Thank you. Further comments of the commission? There being none, we will be in recess. We will reconvene at approximately 10 minutes to 1:00.